I am not the pastor. That is Pastor Tim. I'm just some dude, as Pastor Tim might say. I work with the young adults, help out in the youth, teaching, helping out. It's a joy. So thank you for this opportunity to preach, to present God's word. It is truly an honor. So if you have your Bibles and you want to get ready, you can open up to the Gospel of John. We're going to be continuing through the Advent that we've started. The Gospel of John, chapter 1. The main focus is going to be on verses 3 through 9, but we're going to read 1 through 18 for the full context. It's the most wonderful time of the year, right? Yes. Christmas season, Advent. People love this time of year. I love this time of year. We're going through the Advent leading up to Christmas and the celebration of the birth of Jesus. People love the snow. People love caroling, which we're going to be doing sometime soon. They love, you know, all the different Christmas festivities. People also love Christmas lights, right? I love Christmas lights. I love going and seeing them, especially having two girls. I love that tradition of going and seeing Christmas lights. So when you're talking about light, you could also talk about darkness. Show of hands, who enjoys it being dark at like 4 something this time of year? One person. That's good. That's fair. I know another person too, so you're not alone. 5% of adults in the U.S. experience SAD, which is seasonal affective disorder, but I'd say a lot more of us notice the effects of darkness on our body. You know, it creates melatonin, which makes us sleepier earlier, and they also say, actually statistically, they say that more crimes happen when it's dark as well. I would say Batman probably agrees that more crimes happen at night. Shaded by darkness, people think they can just do whatever they want, right? But what about, you know, that's literal physical darkness, but what about spiritual darkness? What could that look like? What could that look like for people at the time, for people at that time, contextually, for people during biblical times? It could look like the time between the last pages of the Old Testament in Malachi and the appearance of John the Baptist, which would have been 400 years of silence. That's a lot of darkness. That's a lot of silence. From an American history standpoint, 400 years ago, do you know what that was? That was the founding of Jamestown, roughly 400 years ago. That's basically the history of our nation. 400 years. That was a lot, long time for Israel. Previously, Israel had heard from prophets and specific people and through judges and through different avenues, they've heard God's voice. But for 400 years, they had darkness, silence. There was a void without God's voice. They were waiting for the light to come. So starting with verse 1 in John, if you can and are able, could you stand with me in the honor of reading God's word? In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through him, and without him was not anything made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. He came as a witness to bear witness about the light that all might believe through him. He was not the light, but came to bear witness about the light. The true light, which gives light to everyone, was coming into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made through him, yet the world did not know him. He came to his own, and his own people did not receive him. But to all who did receive him, who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we have seen his glory, glory as of the only Son from the Father, full of grace and truth. John bore witness about him and cried out, "This was he of whom I said, 'He who comes after me ranks before me, because he was before me.' For from his fullness we have all received grace upon grace. For the law was given through Moses. Grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. No one has ever seen God, the only God, who is at the Father's side. He has made him known." This is God's word. You may be seated. There's a lot to unpack, and there's not a lot of time. I hope what I say is illuminating. I think my wife laughed first, so that's good. Three main points, three characters you could say that I'm going to go over. One, Jesus is the light. That's the first point, and he always has been. The second is John was not the light. John the Baptist, he was not the light, but he knew it. And three, we are not the light, but we have a mission. We have a purpose. You might look at the outline and think, why not John first? But as we see in the text, as we know, Jesus was first before anything. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through him, and without him was not anything made that was made. One of my favorite parts of teaching or preaching is to learn it, to contextualize the Word. As you could guess, the author of the Gospel of John is John, yes. John the Apostle, son of Zebedee, brother of James. Yeah, John the Apostle. I personally love the way that John writes, starts the beginning of the Gospel of John. He starts it in a very poetic manner. In the beginning was the Word, and then all of a sudden, right there in the middle of the reading, he's like, John the Baptist came, and then he jumps back into this poetic form. That's the way my brain works. I sometimes start one way, I jump to another thought. I love the way that John does it. But we see here the other Gospels start with John the Baptist, or maybe the genealogy of Jesus, which the translation to genealogy is actually Genesis, the beginning of Jesus and his lineage. But we see that John starts with this kind of cosmic tale, right? You might as well hear in a galaxy far, far away. He starts in the beginning, which immediately, like Tim had talked about, immediately the readers of this, and even us now, immediately go to Genesis. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And for context, the Greek word, in the beginning was the Word, is logos, the logical. It's what God speaks. It's the creator. Jesus is the creator. So God, in the beginning, spoke things into existence. And Jesus was there to continue to create at the beginning. And the readers at this time would know that. For us, we might hear the Word and wonder, what is the Word? They knew the context of what that is. Jesus was there in the beginning with God. He lays down this very divine claim right away in the gospel. He was there. He was with God. He created all. He's not just our Savior that was born in a manger in Bethlehem that we celebrate this time of year. He is our creator. All things were created by him. Colossians 1:16, "For by him all things were created that are in heaven and that are on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or principalities or powers." Ephesians 2:10, which my kids might remember from VBS, I remember it, "For we are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus, to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do, ahead of time for us to do." He didn't just save us. He knows us intimately. He created us. He was there at the beginning. The beginning, it's sort of an abstract idea. When I picture the beginning, I just picture darkness. I picture a void of light, absence of light. Then what happened? Verse 3, all things were made through him, and without him was not anything made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. We see that the light, he brought life. He shined light in the darkness. Jesus is and was the light from the very beginning. He was well-versed in being the light by the time he stepped on the scene, or as Tim was talking about it, he was the author, the creator, the artist that inserted himself into the story. He was well-acquainted, well-versed in the light when he entered the world as a helpless baby. And what was the sign in the sky for the wise men? It was a star. It was a light for them to follow. Jesus not only created light, he is light. In Isaiah 9, verse 2, it says, "The people walking in darkness have seen a great light. And those living in the land of deep darkness, a light has dawned." Skip to verse 6, "For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders, and he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace." This is it. This is the light. This is the light that has come that they were waiting for in the darkness. For all those years, this is the light that they talked about, that they prophesied about, they were waiting for. John 8:12 says, "I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life." Christian, believer, follower of Christ, you were walking in darkness. I was walking in darkness. I was stumbling through life, lost, aimless. I couldn't see in front of my face. You know, the kind of darkness where you can't even see anything. I was lost. But God, he took me out of the darkness. He shines his light. He illuminated my life. I was dead. I was a dead man. Ephesians 2, "But God, being rich in mercy, because of the great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in our trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved." It was God who rescued me. I was blind, but now I see. He did that for me. He does this for me. I had nothing to do with my salvation. I was a dead man. And I've heard it said, dead men don't grab. Dead men don't reach. Christ reached for me. Christ ran to me. He pursued me. Christ illuminated my life. He brought me to life, and he can do it for you. If he can do it for me, he can do it for you. And we also see there is hope even in the darkest of times. I heard this quote from a popular movie, and in the movie there was the characters were surrounded by darkness all around them, around every corner there was darkness, and a wise teacher says, "But you know, happiness can be found even in the darkest of times if one only remembers to turn on the light." For us, if we only remember to turn to the light. The darkness has not overcome it, as the text says, or in a different translation, it says, does not comprehend it. We see this tension, right? Between darkness and light. In the world, in this physical world, light overcomes darkness. Whether it's a flashlight, a small candle, you can see from miles away. Light illuminates darkness. You shine a light, the darkness is gone. In the same way, Jesus came to defeat moral and spiritual darkness. There's resistance, though. there's confusion, there's opposition, right? The light of the gospel continues to shine, but the God of this age has blinded the mind of unbelievers, and the blind do not respond to the stimulus of light. Jesus, even when he was talking to Nicodemus, which we think very highly, you know, pretty highly of, even when he was talking to Nicodemus, he says, no one can see the kingdom of God without being born again. And what does Nicodemus think? He gets all literal and he's like, how can we be born again if we're old? Even the religious people, the leaders of that time, were clouded by darkness, struggling to see the light. We are so blind in Western society because of our sin, obviously. Sin clouds our judgment. But we get blinded by our current perspective as well and believe it's inherently more valuable because we've come so far, because we have so much knowledge, because we can know anything at the touch of our fingertip. We can often think it's more valuable, more significant. That's self-centered. That's short-sighted. That's pride and arrogance. We're so blinded and clouded by the darkness in our culture that we miss out on the light. The light has come. It has defeated darkness. Jesus is the light. He came, and he's coming back again. The next person, the next character is starting in verse 6. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. He came as a witness to bear witness about the light, that all might believe through him. He was not the light. He came to bear witness about the light. John the Baptist was not the light. I'm not going to linger on the history of John the Baptist and his story, but we might need a little refresher. John was the miraculous son of Zechariah and Elizabeth. The angel Gabriel told Zechariah that he would give birth to a son, and they were like, what are you talking about? I'm old. This is not going to happen. And then he had to be silent for a while, and eventually he could talk again. But Gabriel told Zechariah that he would give birth to a son. He'd be a great preacher. He was a great prophet. And his job, his purpose, was to prepare a way for Jesus. Isaiah 43, a voice of one calling in the wilderness, prepare the way for the Lord, make straight in the desert a highway for our God. John had a mission, and he recognized that mission. He was not the light. He knew that. In John 1:20, he comes right out and says it. I am not the Messiah. John 1:26-27, John answered them, I baptize with water, but among you stands one you do not know, even he who comes after me, the strap of whose sandal I am not worthy to untie. He says, I am not worthy. John had a following too. He had his people. He gained attention and notoriety. If there's someone in Scripture that might deserve some notoriety and some attention, it could be John. We call him John the Baptist. You know, we're Baptists. We love to, you know, John the Baptist. But you could call him John the Witness. The amount of times that the Gospel of John talks about John witnessing in the Gospel and witnessing to Jesus. This next part is one of my favorite things that John the Baptist, John the Witness, whatever you want to call him, says, and I'm going to recap it. The idea, it's found in John verse 22 through, I don't remember what chapter it is, but it's when Jesus and his disciples went to the Judean countryside. He spent time there. He's baptizing, and John's people saw Jesus, and they're like, this rabbi, the man that you, on the other side of the Jordan, that you testified out, look, he's baptizing, and everyone's going to him. And John has this beautiful description of a bridegroom and a bride, gives a very eloquent description. And then he says that joy is mine and it is now complete. But then he says one of my favorite things that he says. He says, he must become greater, I must become less. He must become greater, I must become less. He had a following. He was a prophet. He was influential. And what did he say? He must become less. Let's be honest with ourselves. Would we do that if we were him? We are not the light. We are not the light. Well, we have a mission, but we are not. Before we knew Christ, we were darkness. Ephesians 5, verse 8, for at one time you were darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. He's talking about our human nature, right? Humans don't just do bad things. We don't just sin. We don't just do dark things. We are darkness in our inmost being. People might think that sounds harsh. Modern people might think, oh, that sounds like it's too far. Really? Darkness? Like, that's a lot. But the Bible says it, and even our best intentions without Christ are like filthy rags. They're selfish. Some years ago, Mike Wallace interviewed a concentration camp survivor. His name was Yehiel Denour, I hope I said that right. And the reason he interviewed him was this. One of the architects of the Nazi Holocaust, his name was Adolf Eichmann. And after the war, he ran, as a lot of them did, and a lot of the Nazis and sympathizers ran and dispersed. And he was found. And in 1961, he was put on trial for his crimes. And people that, eyewitnesses and people that saw them were asked to come and speak and testify against him. And one of those people was Yehiel Denour. And when he entered the courtroom and he saw Eichmann, Denour sobbed uncontrollably, collapsed. It was chaos in the courtroom. It was powerful. It was dramatic. And so Mike Wallace, when he was interviewing him, showed him the video, showed him the clip, and he was like, what happened at this? What were you feeling at this point? Was it PTSD? Was it anger? Was it rage? Which you could understand, we could understand with such tragic and traumatic things. And what Yehiel Denour said, it was so profound. He said, when I walked in and I saw him, I suddenly realized he was no demon. He was no Superman. He was an ordinary human being exactly like me. And suddenly I became terrified about myself. I saw that I am capable of the same things. He didn't see someone less than human. He saw a man. He didn't see someone less than human, which was what the Nazis were doing at that time. They saw people as less than human. He didn't see that. He saw a man that was capable of evil things, that had evil inside of him. And whether we want to admit it or not, we are capable of evil things when pushed to certain limits. He was a man with darkness inside of him, like all of us. Before we come to know Christ and the Holy Spirit dwells inside of us and the light shines to expose that darkness, we are darkness. We need the light. And we need to direct others to that light as well. Do we do that? Do I do that? I'm going to step on my own feet here. Do I direct others to the light? So let's examine ourselves for a second. When was the last time you thought, I need to become less so that Christ can become more? When was the last time you loved your enemy? Would I rather be right? Or would I rather point people towards the light? In our flesh, we could argue with people when we often do about beliefs and politics and the way they live and the things they do. And what if I am right about those things? Because a lot of times we are right. What if I am right, but I'm not directing people to Jesus? What if I'm a noisy gong or a clanging cymbal and I have no love? I gain nothing. When was the last time that you loved someone that could do nothing for you? No upside, no strings attached. Nobody knows, nobody hears about it. Facebook doesn't hear about it. It's not on your social media accounts. You didn't tell anybody. You just do it, and they can do nothing for you. John is a beautiful example. That's not the purpose. His purpose was to tell people about Jesus. But to us, he is a beautiful example. He bears witness. He points us to the light. He is not the light. He's merely a vessel, a servant, to point us to the true hope, the only hope. But people will reject it. They will. John 3, the light has come into the world, and people loved the darkness rather than the light. People loved the darkness. Let's stop to consider that, to think on that. Jesus is the light of the world. Sometimes we lose track of that, and we think of Jesus as our ticket to heaven, as our salvation, which he is. He's our salvation. But he is the light of the world. What a shame it would be if we only thought of Christ as our way to heaven. He brings heaven to earth. He brings light to darkness. He brings peace, true peace, in war. Not just war out there, war in here. He brings peace. He is the way, the truth, the life. This isn't a buffet. Jesus is the way. We don't get to choose. Jesus is the way. So the light of men had come into the world, finally, right? Finally, long awaited, and they rejected him. The stone the builders rejected has become the cornerstone. History is filled with Christians who have been martyred for what they believe about Jesus, and they stood strong, and the church continued to grow. Look at your history. If we don't know our history very well, we might believe that this current age is the most evil and we're being persecuted. In reality, we have a lot of freedom, right? To share this life-altering reality. What's stopping us from sharing the light? Matthew 5, you are the light of the world. A city on a hill cannot be hidden, nor do people light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a stand, and it gives light to all in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others so that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father who is in heaven. If you confess and believe and Jesus is Lord of your life, then you should share it. Does that mean that you'll be up here preaching or that you'll be out talking on the streets or teaching? Maybe not. But maybe it will. Could be. Or, like we were talking about earlier, the command is to go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations. Go, share the light. That's our command. Illuminate the darkness. But maybe the darkness is held on to you. Maybe it's hard for you to have faith in a God that you can't see. Maybe you think that you're in control, you have this autonomy in your life, and you don't want to let it go. Maybe you want to hide in the dark. Sometimes that's easier. Before I knew Christ, I was in spiritual darkness. And that darkness can mask a lot of things, right? Those things that I wanted to hide, those things that you want to hide, the darkness can hide that. things that happened to me in my childhood, things I bury deep inside. Alcohol, it could mask it for a while. Partying, it could mask it. Porn, it could numb it, right? Sex, that would keep it away temporarily. I was treating my sin, I was treating my darkness with more darkness. I was feeding it. It was growing. There was no end in sight. No way to get out. But God, being rich in mercy, I was dead, but I was made alive together with Christ by grace. I do not deserve Christ. You do not deserve Christ. I deserve darkness. It's not fair. Because if it were fair, I would get what I deserve. But Christ had other plans. God so loved the world that he gave his only son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life. For me, for you, have eternal life. May I never get over the fact that God saved a wretched sinner like me. He died for the world, for whoever believes in him. And maybe you're here, and maybe you're trying to fill these desires with things of this world. And not all those things are bad things. You could be trying to fill them with your family, or trying to fulfill them with your job, or trying to, you know, do these activities that make you feel good in this moment. Those aren't bad things, but those things are temporary. Money is temporary. Notoriety is temporary. If you find desires that this world cannot satisfy, maybe you were created for another world. Maybe you were created with a higher purpose. Maybe you were created so you could glorify God, so that you could know Christ and that he could illuminate your life and you could tell people about Christ. The world was waiting, longing for a savior. And the world didn't change. The world still needs a savior. They still need light, their darkness. And we have that answer. We know who the lightness is. We know who the light is. Two questions. Are you in spiritual darkness? Is someone you know in spiritual darkness? What's that look like? As I'm closing out, whoever's coming up, if we're doing a different song, I'm not sure, you can come up. I want you to ponder that. I want you to consider, if you are in spiritual darkness, what are you holding on to? What are you keeping control of? Let go of that. The light has come, and we have hope in darkness. Let go of those chains of darkness and find true freedom in the light. He knows you. He created you. He knows your innermost thoughts and being, and he still loves you. He loves you truly. Tim Keller said it like this: to be loved but not known is comforting but superficial. To be known and not loved is our greatest fear. But to be fully known and truly loved is, well, a lot like being loved by God. God loves you. Stop hiding in the darkness. Let Jesus illuminate your life. Let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, what a joy and an honor it is to know you. You are light in the darkness. And as we look around this world that we live in, we see it consistently. Murder and just heartbreak and sadness and tragedy, senselessness, Father. And we wonder, oftentimes, we wonder what we can do. Well, you know what's going on. You had a plan from the beginning. It didn't surprise you. This wasn't plan B. This was your plan from the beginning. You sent your son to be the light of the world. And this time of year, we celebrate the birth of Jesus. But let there be no time of year where we don't celebrate Jesus and his love and the light. It's life-changing. It's life-altering. How can we be silent on this matter? This light, there's nothing that's more important. Nothing, Father. So if you're a believer here, let's consider, stir our hearts. Do we show the light? Do we direct others to the light? And if you're not, if you're in spiritual darkness, what are you holding on to? The light has come to free you from the chains of sin and darkness that are present. This life, this world is full of darkness, but Jesus, you are the light. Let us never forget that. We thank you, Father. It's in your name we pray. Amen.